This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. A free-for-all on a Montgomery boat dock has gone viral. A black boat captain attacked by several white men, followed by a brawl mostly along racial lines.
Video taken by eyewitnesses showed Damian Pickett, co-captain of a large riverboat, asking a group to move their pontoon so the riverboat could dock in its assigned space. They refuse and attack Pickett, wrestling him to the ground while punching and kicking him. Pickett's co-workers and others rush to his aid.
Correspondent Omar Villafranca, as of now, Montgomery officials do not see a hate crime. Just coming in, word that there apparently is a winner in the $1.5 billion-plus Mega Millions jackpot, apparently in Florida. Shark attacks do not happen much near New York City beaches, but there was one Monday night, five in all this summer, so swimmers were kept out of New York waters on Thursday. Alice Gaynor of CBS New York.
Scientists say while still extremely rare, cleaner and warmer waters could be contributing.
We're seeing a lot more bony fishes close to shore than we're used to seeing. And with that come the predators that feed on them.
Monday's apparent attack, the latest in a busy season for New York beachgoers.
And now to Columbus, Ohio, where the Associated Press reports strong voter rejection of a Republican effort to make it harder to pass a state constitutional amendment. That ahead of a November vote to pass one on abortion rights. CBS's Kara Cordy is in the Ohio Capitol.
A lot of folks I spoke to at polling places just thought it kind of sounded silly to move the majority threshold to 60%. A lot of folks just said, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that we should be messing with our democracy that way.
Strong storms Monday left lots of cleanup to do Tuesday along the Northeast and in the Mid-Atlantic. Meantime, in the West, where it's extremely hot, a federal judge blocked Sacramento from clearing homeless encampments for at least 2 weeks. Mark Horvath is the founder of a group helping the homeless.
Sweeps do nothing to solve the homeless crisis. And in many ways, they make helping homeless people harder.
From Florida, word of an unusual discovery by an unusual tourist.
Jane Castor is Tampa's mayor and the former police chief. And during a trip to the Florida Keys while fishing, her and her family found 70 pounds of cocaine floating in the ocean. They had caught some fish and were on their way back to shore when they spotted it.
You know, my family was concerned, like, oh my gosh, what if they think it's ours? I'm like, oh, come on. So we pulled it up.
The coke's street value, $1.1 million. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Working from home by Zoom? Well, if you're working for Zoom and live within 50 miles of its offices, Zoom wants you back in the office. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize. Too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media.
Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a terrific Tuesday edition, Dom. And it's getting better all the time because we are joined right now live via phone by our buddy John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here locally. John, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, some say.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, you two?
Good.
Some say, isn't that the Fox line?
Well, the greatest radio show ever is our line, John. That's the one
we're
claiming.
That's your line. It's just the some say part. So I think I've heard it.
Hardly fair and balanced around here either, I hear.
John, very imbalanced, I understand.
Exciting booking for the Cap Times Ideas Fest. Friend and the guy I admire quite a bit, U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, going to be one of the big headliners. Not the only one, but he's the Friday night. John, is he staying by your house that night?
he may find his own accommodation. I'm not sure, but there's certainly, if need be, there's a guest room. You know, we could make it work.
John, I know Bernie Sanders is beloved in this neck of the woods. You have squired the senator from Vermont around a couple times. I saw you at Fighting Bob Fest. You were introducing Bernie around, and he was a regular. And I think there was a reason that Bernie Sanders was so beloved. And why he won the Wisconsin primary, the Democratic primary, by double digits, John. Some forget, but I never forget.
Huh. Yeah, he won 71 of 72 counties, and he almost won the 72nd. So, he did very, very well in Wisconsin. And I think he always had a following. I think that's in part because he taps into something that, you know, hardwired into Wisconsin history, and I hope the present, and that's our progressive tradition. And that progressive tradition of Robert M. La Follette and the people associated with him tended to believe in economic and social and racial justice, saving the planet and avoiding stupid wars. And so that sounds a lot like Bernie Sanders' agenda.
Well, John, a complaint, and we read your column earlier today, or at least big parts thereof.
Sure.
And one of Bernie's complaints, he goes on the big corporate media, ABC, CBS, whatever the case may be, although he's been here, I would point out, a couple of times. And Bernie says, you know, they ask me about the outrage of the day, but they don't ask me the really big moral questions. So, John, what is the most important question? From Bernie's point of view, it was always about the kitchen table economic agenda, the 99%. John, that was my takeaway from his campaign. Do you think that's one of the moral questions that should be repeated over and over again?
Sure. And I think it's a deep in the United States that we have approaching economic inequality. We have a very wealthy class, and then we have a great deal of poverty and a middle class, a working class that is just struggling to keep its head above water. So in that circumstance, clearly the economics are a big factor. And so many things extend from that. Remember, you know, when you're talking about economics, it's not just, you know, like ledgers and numbers on a page. It's human beings. And it's the question of whether you can afford healthcare, the question of whether you can afford to send your kids to college or go through college yourself. The question of whether the wages you make working hard at a job, sometimes going before dawn, work until after sunset, are sufficient to keep you above the poverty line. And when that intersects with issues of race and class and gender, you know, we have this whole package in this country of inequality and unfairness. And Sanders, from the start of his career, has been very, very focused on that. And I think he's made a lot of the connections between economic injustice and racial injustice, injustice toward all sorts of dispossessed peoples. And I think that's why he's had a kind of a unique appeal in American politics.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine joining us. Specifically in the Cap Times, John, one of the questions with the book you did with Bernie Question: what does it mean morally, economically, and politically that three multi-billionaires own more wealth than the 160 million Americans who make up the bottom half of our society? Well, I'll pose that to you, John. What's the answer to that? And is the solution just simply raising taxes on the rich?
That's a part of it. Yeah, to go to the core question there. But yeah, the moral question there is a fundamental one. And you know, all the world's great religions, if you read their core texts, they will tell you that that you know, we have a duty to the poor, right? We have a duty to address the suffering of those who lack economically compared to those who have a great deal of wealth. And so if we accept that, and if we understand that as a moral duty, then the question is, how do you achieve it? Some of my Republican friends, conservative friends, have suggested that, you know, it's you should have trickle-down economics, rich, yeah, even richer, and some of that will trickle down on the rest of it. But the reality now, after four decades of talking about trickle-down economics, is we've got a wider gap between rich and poor than at almost any time in history. And so it does seem to suggest that perhaps at a time when, you know, we have billionaires accumulating unimaginable amounts of wealth, you know, that we're literally talking about when we'll have our first trillionaire, that maybe a little bit of progressive taxation might be appropriate. And I mean, you can debate how much. You could debate, sure, how much, you know, during World War II, you know, when we were trying to take on some pretty serious issues and as a country had to make some tough choices about how we were going to organize our economy. They put a 92% tax on the excess profits of billionaires in those days, and a 95% tax on the excess profits of corporations. And in that moment, right, we didn't collapse as a country. In fact, we came together and defeated fascism. And in fact, it worked so well that after World War II, Democratic and Republican presidents maintained tax rates into the 90% for the excess profits and the excess earnings of the elite. And so we know that it works, right? In fact, when we had dramatically higher taxes on the rich and dramatically higher taxes on corporations in the 1950s, what happened? We boomed as a country. You know, it was the era of, you know, incredible economic growth for this country, and including incredible economic growth for poor and working class people. We had raised a lot of people out of poverty in that era. And so what Sanders and I have argued in the book, and what we've argued in many other settings, is that that's doable. Right. We can still do that. We can tax the very, very rich at a very high rate. They'll still be rich, by the way. It's not going to ruin them. But distribution of the wealth to achieve those moral goals of ending poverty and assuring the stability of the middle class, that works. That has worked in the past. It can work again.
John Nichols, our fine guest. He is a editor at the Capital Times. They are going to host Senator Bernie Sanders here in Madison for the Cap Times Idea Fest 2023. I believe Bernie's coming on September 22nd. Other fine guests, but we're talking about some of the moral questions posed by Bernie Sanders. And you co-wrote a book with Bernie. And one of the other ones, the crisis of our future, our children's future, if there is a future for our kids, John, climate change. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to deny that we're going through this rapid warming of our planet. And doesn't stop Republicans from denying it, but Bernie points out, you point out in your column today, why aren't the fossil fuel companies being held responsible? John, what does that look like? And, you know, again, answer the moral question for us. How do we solve this world crisis? John, could you solve it for us?
Yeah, sure.
Like not the next 90 seconds.
How much time do we have?
90 seconds. I can give you till the break, John.
Yeah. So prepare your next question because we'll get this done quick. No, look, this is it's an incredibly challenging issue, and it's one that poses a lot of concerns. But my friend Rebecca Solnit, who's a great writer on environmental issues, has a new book out in which she argues that the challenge now is not figuring out how to solve the problem. We've actually got the answers, right? We know that we can go to electric vehicles. We know that we can transition from fossil fuels to different fuels and to different approaches, and also that we can rely on conservation. It's doable. It's a political question now, not a scientific question. The scientists have given us the ways to get out of this crisis. The question now is whether our political class will do it. And the answer to that question, weirdly enough, has more to do with campaign finance reform and lobbying than it does with science or you know, fossil fuels. And the bottom line is that we have to free our political class, we have to free our governing class from the grips of the fossil fuel companies, which are incredibly powerful, incredibly influential, and frankly, incredibly dangerous.
John, you hear about corrupted politicians. This money, it is corrupting to them. Right? That's how they win re-election. That's how they stay in power. That's how they keep those big staffs and those cush jobs, right?
It's right. And they tend to live. This month is August, right? Many of us are working this month, including you two. Where's the Congress?
Where is the Congress, John?
They get the month off. They take August off, and they only work, you know, Tuesday through Thursday. So, I mean, I think with all due respect, it is entirely possible to suggest that, A, they should work a little harder, and, B, they should focus on serving the great mass of people and the planet rather than their corporate benefactors.
Well, then you probably got Rojo on a private jet owned by a trust, held by his family, jetting off to Florida
because,
you know, he could use the sun, John. Come back with us, a fine guest.
He's had a bad week, though.
John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, more Devil's Advocates. I'm live one block from the state capitol, the People's House.
Care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. you may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, high clouds overhead tonight, 61 degrees by daybreak with light southwest winds. Mostly sunny skies Wednesday, 84 degrees, and we'll see a chance of showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. Those storms will end Wednesday night. It's 66 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Be sure to check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devils Advocates Radio, and check out the Civic Media app. Can download us and take us with you anywhere you go.
We've still got a fine guest. His name's John Nichols. He's a friend of ours. He is the editor at the Cap Times locally and part of the team at the Nation. John, appreciate you sticking around, man.
Good to be with you.
John, you got to be scintillated by the breaking news. Mike Pence coming to Milwaukee to participate in that national Republican debate for the presidency. John, I have joked a few times they'd rather hang Mike Pence than vote for Mike Pence, but he'll be on stage. Trump probably will not. John, are you looking forward to the debate? You doing something that night?
Oh, I always look forward to a good Republican debate. You know, I grew up down in Union Grove, Wisconsin, and that was the site of the Racine County Fair. And you know that I think it was usually Sunday night we had the Demolition Derby. And that's where everybody got out in their cars and crashed into each other. And so as somebody who was raised on demolition derbies, how could I turn down a chance to watch Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis crash into each other?
John, the former president, indicted multiple times, many more coming, yes, perhaps between now and his non-visit to Milwaukee.
So far.
Well, who's counting, right, John?
But who's counting? Right, exactly.
Well, The January 6th stuff, the insurrection, and we had some guy call us earlier today and said they didn't even charge him with insurrection of a riot or something of that effect. Like, he didn't even cause harm, John. But he's trying to cause harm right now. He's trying to put the prosecutor's wife in the crosshairs, the judge in the crosshairs. You know he's trying to motivate a lone wolf in some way, shape, or form. He'd be just fine with that. John? We've been speculating. Do you think the former president could end up in jail effectively as a gag order?
Well, I don't know what the former president's trying to motivate, except that I think he just kind of goes with his gut on any given moment and does whatever comes into his head, however destructive or damaging it may be. I don't know that we put people in jail for that. You know, I think, up to a point, we've all got an opportunity to say things that may offend people and may trouble people. And so I would even defend Donald Trump's ability or right to do that. But he does seem to be trying to provoke this judge and trying to start a fight, right? And at some point, I think the judge is probably going to try and put some sanctions on him. I don't know that that's going to go to putting him in jail or something like that, but I do think it's part of a broader strategy on part of Donald Trump, and that is to disrupt this process. And I think that's a big deal, something to understand. Donald Trump wants this process of his trial on all these 78 different indictments and things. He wants it to go on for as long as humanly possible. He'd like to have it go on through 2023,
through 2024, he delusionally, I believes that he will be elected president again, and that if he is elected president again, he can appoint a new attorney general who will stop the prosecution, right? Who will overturn or, you know, reject the continuation of the efforts to hold him to account. I mean, that's clearly his goal. It's an incredibly tall hill to climb because in this country, we do talk about the notion of a speedy trial. And even to the extent that he wants to delay, I think he is going to come to trial, at least on some of these issues. But that's what's going on here. That's what's clearly happening is he wants to do everything in his power to make sure that this mess continues for as long as humanly possible, because he thinks at the end of it, he can effectively pardon himself. The reality is that the more interesting process is one, I think, for the Democrats, right? I mean, let's be clear of who's cheering on Trump's efforts to slow things down. And I think that's primarily Democrats, because if Trump is indeed the Republican nominee in 2024, as Republicans themselves acknowledge, sometimes publicly, often quietly, that's a real problem for their party, that they are in a position where they could win the Senate in 2024. But with Trump at the top of the ticket, there's a very real chance they'll lose it, and as well as losing the presidency and perhaps the House. And so, again, this sort of fascinating position where we find ourselves, where Democrats are quite comfortable with Trump, you know, playing this trial out as long as he can, whereas Republicans, I think smart Republicans, savvy Republicans, would like very much for somebody else to, you know, hold Trump to account. They're not going to do so in their party, but they wouldn't mind if somebody outside their party did.
John, let's talk about holding someone accountable. How about Congressman Derek Van Orden, insurrectionist, profanity screamer at the teenage pages? John, will there be an electoral price to pay? This can't bode well for his reelective chances, can it?
I kind of think it could be bad for him. You know, I don't know. One time where you start yelling at a teenager is an issue, but when you have sort of like repeated incidents where you are yelling at teenagers and you're a guy in your 50s, that's just getting a little weird.
Teenagers outside our own immediate families, right, John? That's what you meant.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. There you have it. But the thing is, I think that sometimes weird is as destructive in politics as wrong. And my sense is that a lot of voters in southwestern and western Wisconsin, where much of my family is from, I just don't think they get real excited about having a congressman who spends his time yelling at kids.
I don't know why you wouldn't want a fine representative like that.
It seems like there could be other things to do with a congressional seat, right? You know,
right.
I mean, other ways to spend your time. But yeah, this is the thing. Van Orden, I think, is getting known for this kind of stuff, and that does indeed extract a political price. And I think you're going to see a number of candidates line up to run against him.
Yeah, I suspect you're right, John Nichols, because you almost always are. Our good friend from the Nation, from the Cap Times, from Friend of the Devil's Advocates, John Nichols, appreciate you taking our call this Tuesday afternoon. Make it a terrific day, sir.
Thanks, John.
I will do my best. Have a great day.
Come back, more Devils. Phone lines are open for you. 844-967-2789.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief, and we start with word of someone newly rich in Florida, very rich after winning the $1.5 billion Mega Millions lottery. It was a dockside brawl seemingly along racial lines in Montgomery, Alabama, Police Chief Darrell Albert.
As the co-captain approached the dock and attempted to peacefully moved the boat over just enough so that Harrier could park, the owners of the boat confronted him in a very hostile manner.
Ohio voters say no to making it tougher to pass constitutional amendments. The Associated Press says very strongly so, ahead of one such vote on abortion rights.
We are going to continue to have the right to determine what we want to have happen here, because why? The majority still rules.
In New York City, a rare shark bite followed by a closed beach.
Officials say the 65-year-old woman was about 10 feet into the water at Rockaway Beach in Queens when she felt a pain in her left leg.
This is crazy. I can't believe someone got attacked.
Lifeguards rushed in to help.
Alice Gaynor of CBS New York. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the hump day edition, the happier happy hour rolling through it, fella. Your calls could be next, but be patient. Going to turn a little topically. Am I always against the Republicans? No. I got a few friends. Few Republican friends. Few Democratic friends. One libertarian-ish friend-ish. Very few friends. I count my friends on maybe one hand, maybe two at this point. I have many friendly acquaintances, but you're not my friend unless you know me on the inside.
Unless I've seen you naked.
You have. That makes us friends. It's not a pretty sight, I grant you, but it was prettier when I was young and worked out once in a while. Look at these jackasses. I get distracted by the people.
We're gonna have to trade spots, man. I mean, come on.
I'm watching the people across the road against the green light, and I'm like, dumbass kid, you're gonna get run over.
Oh my god, get the kids off my lawn. Well, turn that music down. Look how fast they're going.
Someday one of these dumbass kids is going to get run over, and I'm going to have to go out there and save his ass.
No.
Giving him CPR.
Someone else will handle it, man. You got a radio show to do. You're going to give this radio show some CPR pretty soon.
You don't have to enjoy his humor so much in there, Luke. Let's turn to a more serious topic.
Thanks, Luke.
Not for the, weak of stomach or lighthearted. Donald Trump's newest campaign ad, and this one was shared by Frank Luntz, the Spengali of the right.
The pollster.
He's a pollster. He does a lot of, let's just call it focus grouping. You know, he gets a lot of people in a room and he asks them these complicated questions to try to decipher their political leanings. But he put on Twitter yesterday, he's like, this, I don't know precisely.
Is disturbing, something along those lines. Like, yeah, yeah.
And I got the quote if you want it.
What is the quote?
This is the most alarming political ad I've seen this year. I encourage you to give me your reaction.
Wow. That was my reaction. I watched it. I'm like, wow. Worst this year. Maybe worst ever. And it's early in the cycle, Dom. We haven't even gotten to the first debate in Milwaukee yet.
Nowhere to go but down.
And the Trump campaign has rolled this humdinger off the presses. Visually, it's worse than the audio, but we've only got what we've got to work with. Luke, play it for the people. It's a little disturbing. Cover the kids' ears if necessary.
If I was the deep state and I wanted to destroy America, I would rig the election with a puppet candidate.
Joe
one
Biden
that was so compromised that they would never say a word about it. I would create a false flag that allows for mail-in ballots. I would be in charge of the ballot counting machines. I would create a false flag to blame all who question the results of the
January
election.
January 6th, false flag.
If I was the deep state, I would prosecute anyone that went against me.
Donald Trump.
I would sue and prosecute anyone that spoke up about the fraudulent election.
Donald Trump.
I would use my powers to shut down all your internet businesses and bankrupt you.
Didn't quite understand that.
If I was the deep state, I would make everyone an example why you should never question a Democrat ever winning an election.
Donald Trump.
I would imprison my foes.
Donald Trump.
I would use my corrupt DAs and blackmail judges to destroy you.
Donald
I
Trump.
I would make sure all crimes I ever committed never happened.
Joe
I would
Biden.
Prosecute my biggest competition.
Donald Trump.
I would make sure they could never run for office ever again. If I was the deep state, I would convince everyone that Ukraine Nazis were good and women are men. If I was the deep state, I would own every politician that mattered. If I was the deep state, I would push my pedophilia ambitions on you. If I was the deep state, you'd question your sexual identity, but not the medical establishment. If I was the deep state, you would fear to ever resist me. If I was the deep state, you would wish I was really the devil. If I was the deep state, I would say mission accomplished.
Brought to you by Donald Trump for president. It's a light campaign ad. And if you saw the images being portrayed at the same time as these audio files are being played, Dom, it really has more gravity to it.
It's wackadoodle, man.
I found it a little disturbing.
It's out there. It's not even a joke. I mean, come on, man.
I'm not clear that it's a joke.
It's a joke. It is a joke. It's a joke because everyone that's ever testified to these corrupt DAs and prosecutors, most of them are Trump's people, man. These are the Republicans testifying about what Donald Trump and his crew have done. This isn't Joe Biden, convening a grand jury. Hell, you know, the grand jury's the one, you know, making these decisions. The grand jury's full of people of Trumpsters.
There you go with your logic and facts again. But this is not meant to tell the truth or make a good, compelling case on behalf of the Trump campaign. This is pure propaganda, or far worse, Tom. This is an incitement to violence, ultimately. That's what this will lead to, Dom. Because the sort of people that believe this, that the January 6th was a false flag, are the same sort of people he's trying to inspire to do it again.
They're the same people, but they're out there, man. This isn't going to motivate them any more than they already are. They already believe this. This is a representation of what the MAGA already believes. So you're going to tell me that this is going to be anything worse?
But the whole Q thing had kind of subsided.
What, the QAnon?
The QAnon, yeah. Well, this sounds very QAnon. Pedophilia. If I were the deep state, you'd question your sexuality, but not medical professionals. I mean, where do you think this is coming from? It's coming from the Q, right?
Donald Trump took
from
the COVID.
The 8chan?
Donald Trump took the COVID vaccine. Donald Trump wants credit for how quickly the COVID vaccine came about.
Warp speed.
Right? You know what I'm saying? He was out. So what? You don't have to go very deep.
This is very surface, and this is certainly raw meat for the megas. But any sort of analysis, any sort of criticism or critique of what he's saying here, come on. It's a joke.
I'm not thinking that the well-informed independent or Democratic voter is going to be inspired by this. That's not who is going to believe this hogwash.
But those who already believe it, Crudy. So what I'm telling you is that the extremism that is represented by this already exists. It's not making people more extreme. It's a representation of the extremism that is already here.
It's giving them license to be extreme. It's giving them a rationale and a reason. I was robbed. It's a false flag. It's the deep state.
It's nothing else that they've been saying this for years, Michael. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, they're consistent, I guess, in their messaging.
844-967-2789. CJ, is that ad representative of the sort of president you'd want to elect, sir?
Hello.
Hey, CJ.
Hey there, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I can hear the fear in your guys' voice.
Really? Because, that's funny, because I don't fear anything, man.
How about the news of the day?
Listen, CJ, we'll go to Biden. Listen, he asked you a question before you came on. You heard the ad put out by Trump's online war machine, right? Do you believe that ad, and is that representation of someone you want to see in the White House? That's the question to you, CJ.
The truth cometh.
So that ad is true?
Committee meeting.
Is that ad true?
Committee, we can hear your Democrats defend a bought and paid for.
What? Click, wah. No, not going to happen, man. If you think that is truth, then you go vote for Trump, man. Are you kidding me? The election was stolen? You got the Ukraine Nazis? What? Come on, man. I know you're smarter than that.
I'm less clear. 844-967-2789. You better have a better take than CJ.
Yeah.
Kevin from Madison. Welcome, Kevin. What do you got for us?
Doesn't take much. Hey, Kevin.
Well, I got three things. Number one, about the aliens and the spacecraft.
Yes.
If Republicans were more in tune with science, maybe we would have things as fast as the aliens do. Number two, the League of Women Voters, for all you naysayers about the election, my wife belongs to the League of Women Voters.
Yep.
And I guess men can join too. She comes home and she talks about all this stuff. And of course, I've since forgotten about it because I'm like, yeah. Wisconsin has probably one of the more secure elections in the nation.
Yep.
And partially due to paper ballots. And getting back to dead voters, they do go back through. So let's say if I voted today and I died tomorrow, that vote will get removed. And then the third thing is, I feel kind of bad for CJ, but if CJ said anything common, because last week you had said you were giving away some Brewers tickets, and no Brewers tickets for you, CJ. CJ said something pretty smart. Would you actually give him some Brewers tickets and be nice to him?
I gave Gary Brewers tickets. Conservative love muffin Gary from Sussex won Brewers tickets. Yeah, man, we're equal opportunities. If you meet the criterion and you're not a jacknut, you get Brewers tickets. Right. CJ probably will not earn them, though.
CJ, pay attention. Maybe he likes the Cubs.
That sounds like a Cubs fan to me, man.
Definitely, definitely a Bears fan.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, man.
844-967-2789. Jack from Bear Mac, welcome back. What do you got?
Hello, Jack.
It's just between this and Hunter Biden so-called judicial scandal, these people are just, all they're trying to do is distract from the real elephant in the room, and yes, the pun is intentional, which is the fraudulent elector issue. Not one single major Republican has repudiated those electors. Not one single one has called for their prosecution. Not one single one has even brought them up, much less something like a congressional investigation. And
well, if your buddy's guilty of a crime, I hope I would have the good sense not to tell you what Dominic did, Jack.
Crody did flip that car over.
Yeah, exactly. These guys are you know, a real piece of work. They, you know, all it is distraction, misinformation, misdirection, anything to keep from the real serious issue, which is we darn near lost our country on January 6th, and it was way, way closer than a lot of people think. That false electors thing could have been the undoing of American democracy, such as it is.
Well, Jack, I am very hopeful we're going to be celebrating Jack Smith Day up in here very, very soon. The indictment's imminent, they say.
And as time goes by, we find out more and more people have testified or continue to testify in front of the grand jury for Jack Smith. Donahue was one recently, and his testimony to the J6 committee.
Phil Donahue, the talk show host?
No. Was essentially... Donald Trump said, no, I'm not asking you to, you know, snap your fingers and overturn the election. Just say it was corrupt and leave it up to me and the Republicans in Congress. I mean, this was a conspiracy, a plan. We've talked about
this. This is a conspiracy. That's what this what is.
And it is. And we have, you know, government officials, electeds in the state of Wisconsin and many other swing states involved in it. And they continue to walk around free like, no big deal. We're just there in backup just in case. Well, no, that's not at all what it was. You knew what you were doing was fraudulent. You knew the documents you signed were not accurate. And you used, I said, I don't know why they're going after him with the post office thing. You put him in the mail. That's mail fraud, man. I mean, let's get to it. So
I thought Rojo was the means of delivery.
Well, for one, they tried.
844-967-2789. CJ referenced the plea deal from President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, in the Justice Department is on hold. There was a dramatic court hearing today, Dom. Hunter Biden failed to pay about $1.1 to $1.5 million in taxes, and he was supposed to go into court and plead guilty to two counts of what? Tax evasion. And then there was going to be an immunity agreement and a diversionary agreement, and the judge said, slow down. I could not accept your plea. I was listening to Right Wing Talk Radio. I snuck out to listen to the car at noon. They were losing their minds, man. They were like, yeah, it's all coming down. It's all coming down.
Yeah.
And then in real time, CNN reported, the deal's back on. Oh, no.
Right.
And then by the end of the day, there was no deal. The judge did not accept the plea deal. Not today. Asked for some more briefs. So, you know, these Republicans, they're losing their mind. They feel like there's a glimmer of hope that Hunter is going to go to prison, you know, where Trump belongs. Come back, more Devils.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, high clouds overhead tonight, 61 degrees by daybreak with light southwest winds. Mostly sunny skies Wednesday, 84 degrees. and we'll see a chance of showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. Those storms will end Wednesday night. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
It's been 7 hours and 15. And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. If you have not yet heard, Irish-born singer Sinead O'Connor died at the age of 56. Cause not yet published.
Dom, got a few texts. One asked the question, very noble question. Remember Terry earlier? Is Terry Mike's lover? That's not very nice. Here's another one. Can you give us more details on what exactly happened with Hunter Biden? I thought it was simple. He didn't really do much. He paid the money and easy peasy. It's all done. No big deal. Why did it get put on hold? Well, they showed up in court today. And my understanding is the judge asked the prosecutor from the Delaware's U.S. Attorney's Office, is there an ongoing investigation of Hunter Biden? And the answer was yes. And the judge said, if the answer is yes, then there is no deal. And effectively, that started the shenanigans. So earlier today, there was the fallout. They thought there was no deal because the immunity from prosecution agreement was far too broad and suggested that Hunter Biden would have immunity in perpetuity. And if he's still under criminal investigation, how could both things be true? So anyways, a little of the reporting from CNN talked about the fact this was a case of tax evasion, about $1.1 to $1.5 million in federal taxes that weren't paid by legal deadlines. Now, he has subsequently paid those dollars, but that's not the important part. Today, this is what happened. Before the original plea could be entered, the deal began to unravel in a revised agreement reached during the hearing. And this was negotiated by the lawyers in front of a courtroom full of reporters in real time. 10-minute recess. They renegotiated the deal, trying to limit the scope of this plea deal. I cannot accept the plea agreement today, said District Judge Mary Ellen Norica. I'm not sure if I said that right. Norica said she has concerns about the party seemingly linking the tax plea agreement to resolving a felony gun charge. During the proceedings, prosecutors confirmed the investigation into Biden was ongoing. And after negotiations, the president's son then agreed to plead guilty to two tax charges in a deal that only includes conduct related to tax offenses, drug use, and gun possession. So effectively, they tried to limit the scope to, I believe it was 5 years. In the last 5 years, it's well known, established, he's pleading guilty to the fact he didn't pay timely taxes. But that's a limited scope. They thought that was the new deal. The judge wasn't satisfied. What if it's unconstitutional, she asked. I'm trying to exercise due deliverance and consideration to make sure we don't make a misstep. After the discussion, Hunter Biden entered a plea of not guilty. He's supposed to go into court and plead guilty today. Norica, is a Donald Trump appointee who was confirmed unanimously by the Senate, presided over Wednesday's hearing, and has sole authority to decide Hunter Biden's ultimate punishment. They were trying to frame it, though, that this judge would have zero authority to make the determination. She wasn't having that either, Dom. So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe I don't understand the nature of the agreement, but I can understand why a judge would take issue with this agreement. There's ongoing criminal investigations, according to the prosecutor, yet they're granting immunity in a very broad sense. And B, they're tying the tax crimes and the gun crimes. And, you know, apparently the judge took issue with that and wanted clarity, wanted to be briefed on the topic, and did not accept the plea deal today. And if you believe the Republicans, it's all going to come apart and Hunter Biden's going to prison forever, Dom, because this is just the beginning. The big guy's exposed. Do I have the right CJ tone?
That kind of sounds like it. And again, I have to reiterate, you know, if as Hunter Biden obviously broke some laws, he pled guilty, and it sounds like they're going to work through this. I did see some reporting, though I don't have it in front of me, that although an investigation perhaps is ongoing, that he is not expected to have further charges against him. But anyway, as the case is, stepping back from as just a regular citizen talking on the radio with all you folks, if Hunter Biden did something illegal, he should pay for the price for it.
I'm not sure.
Should be served. And if there's a process, if there is some constitutionality to the respects of what the judge can actually do and what the prosecutors agree to, they got to hammer that out. Okay, fine. But that's Hunter Biden's problem. And nothing, to my understanding of what's going on in this particular case, has anything to do with the current president of the United States. However, if there were, if somehow there's a bag of money that Joe Biden has buried in the backyard of the White House that he got from Hunter and the crew and the Chinese and God knows who else, and that's the case, and there's facts and there's an evidence and there's trial and he's found guilty, then they should pay the price as well. This is very simple as far as it goes regarding justice and the application of law, equal law under justice, man. It's not hard.
Clear.
Why can't Republicans say, hey, absolutely. And if Joe,
it's a sweetheart deal.
And if Donald Trump did the same thing, if Donald Trump did something wrong, he should too go to jail. But they don't do that, man. They don't do that.
Well, I agree with you. There is no consistency there. But you can understand when the guy's in there pleading guilty to tax evasion and you got the president, former president of the United States, under indictment in multiple jurisdictions, more indictments promised imminently, and you're trying to give cover to the man, you know. Well, of course, it doesn't seem fair. It's a two-tiered system of justice because, of course, Hunter Biden's old man is the president of the United States in the current sense. And Hunter Biden gets to plead a felony down to a diversionary agreement, gets to plead tax evasion down to a slap on the wrist and a little probation. I got to tell you, Dom, as a guy who's dealt with the legal justice system before, it felt like a pretty sweetheart deal to me, too.
Do you know what the penalties and interest were on the tax? I know he caught up on it, but I'm sure there were penalties and interest already included in there, right? I mean, that's how it does, and that's how it goes. So presumably that money's been paid.
So he's paid back his debt with penalties and interest.
Well, at least that part of it, the penalties and interest, is if you don't file it, you have that. That becomes a big chunk of that money.
It is my impression that this plea deal was to offset perhaps more significant crimes. Because typically when you plead, you don't plead to the worst crime you possibly could, right? No one goes in and pleads guilty to murder. Not if the consequence is the death penalty. You plead out to a lesser charge. So my impression is there might have been evidence of further criminality, some bigger charge that maybe they hope to charge. But because Hunter Biden's got some really damn good attorneys, and I think that's got more to do with the fact that he's related to a pretty powerful man.
You think so?
They got the monetary means to hire good counsel.
Well, that's one thing. To have the resources to hire counsel is different than saying the prosecutors and the Justice Department are bending to the will of the big guy. And I don't think that's the case.
I can see the perception from their point of view. It does feel like a hell of a sweetheart deal. Thank you to our fine guest. She was a sweetheart, Chrissy Lazar, telling us all about her experience with the UFO. That was some different sort of radio. Hope you enjoyed it. Now stick around. We've got the Maggie Dawn Show, Empowered Caregivers at 7. And Rick Smith going nationwide at 8 o'clock. Keep it locked. Civic Media, all the Patriots do.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and
and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station.